It's interesting when you think about the long history of Charles Lindbergh Sr. He certainly was a guy that walked a lot of lines. He claimed a strong pride in America, yet he was pro-Nazi. Was he a Nazi? Was he a white supremacist per se? Gosh, it's hard to read what he says about race and not associate those comments with white supremacism, but yet he also still maintained that he had no racial enemies, that he felt a strong connection to having respect for Jewish people, African Americans. Yet at the same time, one of his best friends is the well-known anti-Semite Henry Ford, and he was being used willingly as a pawn by the growing Nazi threat throughout Europe, and fought hard to keep the United States from entering into the war, which is, of course, just what Hitler wanted, to avoid U.S. intervention until he could control all of Europe. So I guess we shouldn't be terribly surprised that Lindbergh, Charles Lindbergh Sr., might be capable of a public face and a private horror. And that brings us back to the story of Charles Lindbergh Jr., the man who says he is the Lindbergh baby, that his father helped to orchestrate it, and it was carried out through some connections that he has explained that led eventually to him going from the estate in New Jersey all the way to a shop in San Luis Obispo, where he gets to meet Charles Lindbergh, where he encounters the FBI keeping track of him, and where he says eventually there in California, he's going to be able to prove everything he's ever said. And it might come in the next 5 or 6 weeks. We'll wait patiently for that. In the meantime, your questions and comments for Charles Lindbergh Jr. next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Look forward to getting your questions and comments for Charles Lindbergh Jr., including somebody I think is holding on for you who's a friend of yours, Charles. But first, let's go east of the Rockies where George is in Manhattan on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. George?
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Happy Easter Sunday.
And to you.
Okay. Charles, I have two comments and a question. First, this is a very auspicious day that you're on Coast to Coast.
Sure.
You're 10 years older than me, but my parents. I've heard the story of your family and the kidnapping and so on, the Bruno Hauptmann, the whole thing, incessantly when I was young. Okay, so that's a big thing in my mind. Have you ever read? This is a very auspicious time. Oh, the thing is, 2,000 years ago, apparently today was the a dead issue, but it got resurrected, right? And that's probably the understatement of all time. Now, the dead issue today was the Lord,
Sure.
But he came back, and so is this a very, very important case that you have. Have you ever read A.K. Rowling's or seen in the movie Harry Potter, where the poor kid was adopted by some people and they put him in a closet underneath the stairwell?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, but if you ever get a chance to read it, or look at it
Sure.
on film, it's a riot. And the analogy is not perfect, but it just shows the
It's an
suffering
interesting
of
point.
somebody that's in the wrong place.
It's an interesting point. Thank you, George. Actually,
Thank you.
the Harry Potter series is about a boy who's raised by parents who treat him horribly and lie to him. Until someday when he's a teenager or close to a preteen, the truth is revealed to him who his real parents were. And so I catch the parallel that George is making there. Let's go to Douglas in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Douglas?
Hi, thanks so much. It's an honor to talk to Charles Lindbergh Jr. I really believe his story for several reasons. I used to be a Department of Research, a Department of Defense research librarian, excuse me, at the Presidio Military Base in San Francisco. I had the luck to work with some of the combat records of Charles Lindbergh Sr. when he was fighting in the Pacific to redeem his name. And the reason I believe the Lindbergh baby story, as outlined here, is because Lindbergh was very much an ideological national socialist and was cooperating before the war with Henry Ford, and sure. both of them had won the highest honor of Nazi Germany for foreign civilians. It was the right. Service Cross of the German people for their services for the Reich. And their plan was to have Charles Lindbergh Sr. run for president on an anti-Semitic and isolationist ticket. And the man who was writing the American Mein Kampf was H.P. Lovecraft. And he died of intestinal cancer before the war started. Yeah. And what surprised everybody in that Bundist-type organization was the fact that Adolf Hitler declared war on the United States, not the other way around. Otherwise, their plans probably would have went a lot more smoothly. And so a lot of the Americans actually felt betrayed by the Third Reich. And so since none of the military or aircraft industries would hire or touch Lindbergh, he turned towards his old friend Henry Ford to work in his aircraft facilities at Willow Run. And he had himself used as a human guinea pig in life-threatening altitude chamber experiments where they were turning out B-24 Liberators at 1 per hour. And he got so sick of that concentration camp-like environment that he went to the Pacific. Right. And when he was in the Pacific, he was stationed in New Guinea, which for the Japanese, that was their version of Stalingrad. The Japanese stated that no one ever comes back alive from New Guinea. And he was with the 475th Fighter Group. And they were known as Satan's Angels. They shot down 545 enemy aircraft during the war. So they were one of the war's most lethal combat units. And
Just to explain, to tie this into our guest here, just because, I mean, certainly this history is always interesting, and all of this is true. He redeemed himself by taking these unauthorized combat missions that were later revealed.
I was wondering if your guest had wanted to meet Mr. Lindbergh in Germany when he was asking for that German citizenship, because under the Roosevelt administration, Lindbergh had been told, of course, he would never, ever get an opportunity to work with the Germans again. But as soon as Roosevelt died and Truman, who has a tie to your guest's story, as soon as Truman became president, Lindbergh was sent on a plane to Europe.
Okay.
And right after the war, he worked with some of recovering a lot of V-2 rockets.
All right. So let's get Charles to respond to this, Douglas, just because I know you've got lots of facts here, but I just want to know, Charles, where are you with all of this?
Well, this part is new to me, and I certainly appreciate it. Harry Truman was, I'm sure, party to my situation with Sigmund, and so I don't have the details on that, so I can't give you a thorough answer.
But it's interesting. You were talking about Harry Truman earlier, so let's go back to that. The connection was...
Harry Truman was a lieutenant in the Tom Pendergast, Kansas City, Missouri, booze operation. And Sigmund he ran whiskey and oil trucks to Kansas City and Chicago. And so Truman and Sigmund were on a one-to-one speaking basis as friends. Truman lived in Independence, Kansas. Sigmund lived in El Dorado, Kansas. And he controlled the whiskey production of that county. And he had 7 roadhouses of his own for gambling and booze. And I've been to those roadhouses as a boy. You know, that's in my diary.
I look forward to that. Let's go to Lorene in Stockton, California, who, as I understand it, Lorene, you're a friend of Charles Lindbergh Jr.'s?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah. Hi, Lori.
Okay, Charles, God bless you and Audra, and, you know, a happy Resurrection Day. I pray things are going well with you both and your children and grands. I was wondering, you know, if either one of the FBI agents that contacted me and harassed me, either Andrew Manson or...
You were harassed by the FBI as well?
I was harassed twice by telephone by Andrew Manson, who claimed that he was an FBI agent, And after he'd gone on continuously, I asked him who he was. And he said, that doesn't matter. But he said, I need to know what you have with going with Charles Lindbergh. I understand your friends. I said, my friends are my business.
And so what were they trying to get? I mean, what could you tell them?
They said I didn't tell them anything. I just told them that my friends were my personal business.
Right. But what could you have told them?
I could have told them Mr. Lindbergh's address, his phone number, the type of car he drove, where he and his wife lived, what kind of people they were, how honest and law-abiding and how nice they were. The fact that I did fully believe that he was the Lindbergh baby, that he is the heir to the Lindbergh family. I'm not so sure that that's so great. But Andrew Manson and Bob, Don.
Yeah, you guys Reynolds, throw these both, names around. But
they both harassed me. And I told both of them. One even threatened me with jail if I didn't give him the information. And I told him, I said, I don't have to tell you anything, even if I knew Mr. Lindbergh and his family. Even if I knew anything at all, I said, what do you want to know for? Well, he claims to be the heir, the Lindbergh kidnap baby. And I said, and he said, we all know he's dead. And I said, then why are you bothering? I said, why would you even bother?
Why would he be a threat if everybody knows if everybody knows that he's dead? Thank you so much, Lori. Tell me real quickly, Charles Lindbergh Jr., and she's mentioned these FBI agents, and you've talked about FBI agents. I make this pledge, if any FBI agent that's been mentioned by name wants to respond on the air and tell their side of the story, they're certainly welcome to call. But why do you think they called Lori? I mean, why they could? It's the FBI. They knew where you lived, didn't they?
Sure they did. I'm sure they did. And they called her. They said, look, we can put you in jail. She says, put me in jail. I'm not going to. She says, you may be hitmen out to kill Charles. And
but why? What
she signed a statement to that effect, which was filed with Congressman Honda,
and is in part of this case. Let's go to Nancy in Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Nancy,
hi Ian, hi Charles,
hi, how are you?
Hi, good. I was born and raised in Jersey, right outside of Trenton. And it seems like every few years there was a big write-up and controversy in the newspapers about the kidnapping. And I'm just wondering, are you getting any information from anyone in New Jersey, any cooperation?
No one
still around?
No one at all. No.
No. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you. And God bless you. And I wish you the best.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
And anything you can do, if anybody has any information, they should pass it along. Marie is in Chicago listening to the Big 89 WLS. Marie?
Hello, Mr. Lindbergh. Hello, Ian.
How are you?
The reason why I'm calling is, did you ever attempt to go to a conservative rabbi to have them pray for healing, most especially for the man who may have been killed because of the possibility of your death? But also, there's a way of asking for healing from both sides so that healing can come within the family. Because I know different things were done during the Holocaust, too, if you could find out how they go about this.
It's an interesting thought. Have you ever done anything?
I'll tell you what I've done. I have not done that. But my step-grandpa, Lauren Houston and Myrtle, taught me to keep a visual of my brain in good shape, read God's word, and be pro-Jewish to help the Jew because they're God's people. And so that was established in me so well over the 4 years I was with him that I kept this thing of keeping a picture of myself in good shape and getting up every morning and dynamically pursuing the work that I was doing in the insurance business and survive.
I like that idea, though. Have you ever done anything mystical, in going to obviously you haven't done what she was talking about, but I mean, have you ever done anything where you go to a psychic, or have you ever worked with anybody else?
No, I haven't. I haven't gone to no psychics.
I'm just curious. I got to ask the studio just because there's kind of a corruption of the program. Who's hanging on in Arizona? Is that Todd that's hanging on in Arizona? Okay, Todd on the first-time caller line for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Todd?
Yes, I'd like to ask what the name of the book is that your mother wrote saying that we shouldn't go to war against Nazi Germany.
I'd have to ask my wife that.
Can you talk about the knowledge of that book? Because I read about it in magazines from World War II.
No, I have no knowledge of that. My wife would have, but she's asleep. She's probably read every book my mother's written.
What else has she written?
Reeve, are you talking about Ann Morrow Lindbergh?
I'm talking about the mother, you know, of Charles Lindbergh Jr.
Yeah, well, she wrote, she produced a book called The Life of Ann Lindbergh by Susan Hertog, and she unloads on the family. My sister Reeve was not aware that this book was being, she was meeting Susan for private interviews, and I think they tried to hush that book up. She tells about certain immoralities in the family and so forth.
There's a bunch of, I just did a little quick little Google search, and I found starting in 1935, Ann Morrow Lindbergh wrote North to the Orient, yeah. Listen, the Wind, The Wave of the Future. That was 1940. And that might have been the book where she addressed things like that. Also, The Steep Ascent in 1944.
Yeah, I read an article about it from World War II, and she was saying all this stuff about how we shouldn't fight Hitler and all this kind of thing.
Well, there you go. I appreciate the comment.
Well,
let me go
you.
To Jeff in Mississippi on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Jeff?
Hi, guys. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Mr. Lindbergh, I heard you on the show previously, and tonight I really enjoyed listening to you. The thing that strikes me even more than sort of the seemingly crazy and outlandish and nefarious elements of the story is I don't really hear much bitterness in your voice when you're recounting what's happened. And, you know, you've got all these people that have, you know, said all these awful things to you over your life, like, oh, you're not our kid, you know, this kind
right.
of stuff. And so I guess what I'm wondering is that something that you had to, like, work through? Or
When I lived with my step-grandparents in Wichita, my step-grandma used to say, half the world, when you go up, half the world is going to like you and the other half are going to hate you and they won't know why. So I developed an impervious attitude for unqualified criticism and injustice.
That's a great way of thinking about it. Unqualified criticism, people who really don't have the perspective to be making the assertions that they're going to make.
There you go.
Yeah. Interesting, Jeff. I hope that's informative to you. I think it's a really good point to bring up to your bitterness working through that. There was a time, wasn't there, if I remember our last conversation?
Yeah, there was a time of bitterness that almost devastated my life.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that bitterness is akin to witchcraft. And so I got a hold of myself and I said, look, God, take this bitterness from my heart before it destroys me. And over a period of time, I was able to get the bitterness out and the resentment and forgive. Forgiveness is a great blessing.
And it's a process. It doesn't
it's
happen.
It's a process, yeah. It doesn't happen overnight because yeah. it's kind of like hangers, you know.
Right. That's right. Good way of looking at it. All right, so here we go. Our last half hour coming up. We'll give you the phone numbers again coming up in just a few minutes. Beverly's listening to XM. She's in Oklahoma. We'll get to her coming up. And what's your question? Is there a smoking gun question for you in the case of Charles Lindbergh Jr.? Something that you think I haven't asked or perhaps he's never had to answer before that would explain whether or not he really is the Lindbergh baby. And we'll take your questions, we'll take your comments, and we'll take this one more level up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Bonnet. Our guest is Charles Lindbergh Jr., and I was just thinking about him. Actually, I was doing a little Googling around for the books of Ann Morrow Lindbergh and came across this story, if you want to bring in Charles Lindbergh Jr. It says here that coming up in April, next month, April of 2008, Reeve Lindbergh will have a new book out where she tries to reconcile the addition of the children into the family from Charles Lindbergh Sr., from his various mistresses in Bavaria, and that she has gone there and traveled there and met with them, gotten to know them a little bit, and that that's the subject of her new book coming up in April. Which leads me to say, why won't she meet with you?
Yeah, or, really.
Or meet with you again, anyway. Let's grab Beverly, who's been hanging on for a minute on Coast to Coast AM while I've got you here. Charles Lindbergh Jr. Beverly?
Yes, Ian.
Hi, go ahead.
Mr. Lindbergh.
Yes.
You were talking about the DNA with your sister showing you have the same mother. Well, which one of your siblings would you need to show that that Charles Sr. was your father?
I think John.
And
or Scott in Brazil.
Okay, they're both your brothers?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
Len, we're not sure of Len. He lives in Montana, and we're not sure whether he is a Lindbergh or not.
Oh, okay.
You say that because there's a possibility he could have been the product of an affair that Ann Moore or Lindbergh was having?
That's a rumor, yes.
Yeah, I heard that rumor too. But Beverly, so there you go. It could be somebody else, but why not be able to determine that from I don't know enough about how these DNA tests are done. Why can't they determine that you share the same father if you're tested with one of the girls?
It's a chromosome.
Okay. God, yeah. I wish I knew that stuff better. Nathan is in Virginia on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Nathan?
Hey, how's it going, Ian?
Doing great. Your question?
Yeah, I wanted to see if there was any sort of direct connection or maybe even if it's just like a parallel with all this information that's out there from Alex Jones and things like that, where you had George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush collaborating together with Hitler during World War II, and all the secrecy surrounding Mr. Lindbergh Jr. Is there connection there?
That information's been out for a lot longer than you know Alex Jones being alive. I mean, that information's been around for a long time. What he's talking about is any connection with any of the secret backdoor Nazi dealings by the father and the grandfather of George Herbert Walker Bush.
I have no information on that at all.
Okay. It is an interesting. It is a parallel, if nothing else, honestly. All right, so we'll get to a bunch. We'll line up a bunch. We'll do them next. Everybody standing by for Charles Lindbergh Jr. on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Charles Lindbergh Jr. taking your questions and comments. John on the wildcard line in Omaha on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is the guy. He says he's the Lindbergh baby. Are you good with that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, where do you go with that?
Well, you know, we've all grown up with the question about the child anyway. My grandfather, who came up through that period of time, said that just because of the misshapen form in the snow doesn't mean that the child died. Okay?
That's true.
And I've got a couple of things to touch on is that if you're accepted, how much is your life going to change?
Well, it's like this. I make my life as smooth as I can every day, John.
Well, that's nice to know. But you know what they're actually doing here is protecting the family money.
That's what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, Vladimir, at a Palace Hotel luncheon several years ago, Vladimir stated, he said they're really I'm not accepting Charles because they do not want to spell out the his share.
Well, what's interesting about that is they're going to they've been having to do that with the German family. So you'd think that they'd find a way to as long as they're starting to divvy up the estate a little bit more. And that's a pretty wealthy estate because Ann Morrow Lindbergh's parents were super wealthy growing up.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I mean, so if they got a little bit, I think that they'd be able to. To share the love with the guy who may have been their long-lost brother. Sam is in Michigan on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Sam?
Hey, Ian. Greetings, 25-degree greetings from 14 inches of snow in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, I heard y'all got a little bit more than us. We had 12, and that was a lot.
Well, next year we're going to send it all your way.
Okay. And so you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I want to read two quotes, and I'd like your guest to respond as to whether he recognizes one of these. I've never seen more senators discontent with their jobs, the major cause of which is deep down in our hearts, we know we have been accomplices in doing something terrible and unforgivable to our wonderful country. We have given our children a legacy of bankruptcy. We have defrauded our country to get ourselves reelected. That's the first one. Here's the second. This Federal Reserve Act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When President Wilson signs this bill, the invisible government of the money power will be legalized, the worst legislative crime of the ages now perpetrated by this banking and currency bill. From now on, depressions will be scientifically created. And that was from a speech in 1913 by a congressman, Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh, Sr.
Yes, I've heard about that one. My grandfather, Congressman Lindbergh, opposed and I think had convinced the House two-thirds to abolish the Federal Reserve when they beat him up and flogged him.
Yeah, I guess we should be very clear about that. Technically, we've been calling you Charles Lindbergh Jr., but really, if you are who you are Charles Lindbergh the Third.
Well, there's a I think of my grandfather Lindbergh's name Augustus. There's a different spelling. I think that's why.
Oh, really? Because I thought. Oh, so he's Charles August Lindbergh, and you would be Augustus.
Augustus,
Lindbergh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So the grandfather was August. And then the son was Augustus, and you're Augustus.
Yeah.
So technically that's right. Because I see in some of the research on this, I see you listed as Charles Lindbergh the Third. But I see how that would be inaccurate. All right, so then on to Ron, east of the Rockies, Wichita, Kansas, on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Ron?
Hello, Ian. Hello, Charles.
Hi.
I was very interested in the addresses you mentioned here in Wichita because I recognize all of them. My question is, Wichita, as you probably know, is the air capital of the world, and there's all kinds of aircraft plants here.
That's right.
Do you think your father had friends here because of the aircraft connection, and that's the reason you maybe ended up here?
That could have been. That could have very well been. El Dorado, Kansas, where the bootleggers had their residence, the rural residence, was just 38 miles from Beach Aircraft. And my father flew into Wichita frequently in those days.
That would make sense. He was kind of acting as a consultant for a lot of different companies, wasn't he?
That's interesting. Cessna's there, Beechcraft. There's some old ones that are gone, like Swallow and Stearman Aircraft. The Stearman brothers were friends of mine, Guy Stearman, which later became Boeing because the Stearman brothers couldn't swing the financial pendulum to manufacture for the military.
No, that makes perfect sense. Julia, west of the Rockies in Durango, Colorado, on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Hanging in.
Good, good. Charles, I heard Ian interview you last spring and really enjoyed the story and was reading your website again this afternoon in preparation for the show. And the question that kept occurring to me was, I'm wondering, especially since the DNA tests are still inconclusive, have you investigated the possibility that you might be an illegitimate child through stories and history, not so much through DNA?
Oh, I would doubt that, and so would my team, because I look like my father, I look like my brother John, I look like my brother Scott, I have the same facial characteristics of my sister Reeve, and so does my son Kevin, the contractor in Santa Cruz. They would make a perfect match as far as facial characteristics go. And there are people in Brazil that know Scott. Scott has told Paul Anderson, who's a friend of mine. Scott says to Paul, I know he's my brother. I can't do anything about it because John and Reeve will not allow me to pursue to connect with Charles.
Yeah, Julia, I just want to give you a warning here, Julia. This is the I'm going to let you go this time on this, but I generally have a rule. I don't want the listeners to do more show prep than I do. So if you could, when I hear you going through the website, I'm thinking to myself, dang, I probably should have done that. So
I didn't realize I was beating you to it, actually.
That's fine. Just cut it out, okay? That's the last time you're allowed to prep that well for a question. Eileen is in Minneapolis on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Eileen?
Hi, I was just wondering, what is the status of doing DNA tests with the German relatives?
Won't touch it. Reeves has close ties with them.
Right.
And Reeves carries a checkbook, and I can tell you right now, that an attempt was made, and I disbanded completely. Okay. Now, I'm going to do it with my brother John, my brother Scott, and nobody else.
Shirley is hanging on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Go ahead, Shirley.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes.
I'd like to know why Mr. Lindbergh's father had so much contact with the Germans.
Well, the conclusion, in my opinion, is that he was... I think maybe one factor we don't know for sure is that my grandfather Lindbergh was so badly abused and beat up by the bureaucracy for his trying to get the Congress to disband the Federal Reserve. That may be one reason that he turned to Germany. And then I think he was very German-oriented. Very, very, very German-oriented, and I think that he saw an outlet for himself that maybe gave him some power and privileges.
It should be said originally that the U.S. government encouraged Charles Lindbergh to go over to Germany, and that they were using him as kind of a spy. Not quite spy status, maybe, but I mean, they were looking at him as somebody who could look at them and report back to them. And it's entirely possible that, you know, Lindbergh was doing that and feeling empowered by his own country, and then ended up liking Germany more than he ended up liking the United States. I mean, it happens. And I don't know that that's fair, but I do know that he's very clear on that he would give up democracy to save white people. But that was kind of a theme of those conversations, was his belief in racial purity over politics, and that if it meant giving up, you know, democracy to save what he thought of as the white race, that was a trade-off he was willing to make. Carolyn is in Jacksonville, Florida, on Coast to Coast AM for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Carolyn?
Hello, Ian.
Is he making his case?
Lindbergh. Pardon me?
Is he making his case?
Oh, yes. Oh, hold on. Were you talking to me?
Yeah. Do you feel like he's making his case?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, my question is, at the time that you were kidnapped, Mr. Lindbergh, and this other baby, the other toddler that was found by the truck driver beside the road that was so badly decomposed that they couldn't tell, you know, whether it was a boy or a girl, were there any other children reported missing in the area?
I think what happened there, I think that baby was taken from a graveyard somewhere. Although there had been a child missing from an orphanage in that area, but we had no information to establish who the child was. But the dirt found on the body showed that it was not the same dirt residual that was of that area. It was another area.
Either way, the body had been moved.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. I think it's a really good question. In fact, your point about the cemetery brings us back to Cemetery John, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that possibly they could have, here's this other person asking to meet in the cemetery, and maybe this boy had or girl had been dug up from somebody else's grave, because it was so decomposed that all they did was go by Charles, you know, Lindbergh's testimony, and he said, oh yes, that's the shirt that the baby was wearing that night. But it's his testimony. I mean, all he had to do was say yes. There was no way. They didn't double check it. They didn't ask anybody else. They merely took his word for it. Let's go to Jim, who's in Minneapolis on Coast to Coast AM, and he's got a question, too, for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Jim?
Good morning, Ian, and Mr. Lindbergh, thank you very much for taking the call. And actually, my question is really a follow-up to the last one you just heard, in that I'm not certain if it's possible now or not, but maybe you've looked into whether or not the remains that are buried could actually be tested for DNA.
No, I never thought about that. They were cremated, though.
Oh, they were cremated.
They were cremated and strewn across Germany.
The baby was?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be darned. The baby, how about that, Jim?
Man.
Yeah, cremated right away, actually. They kind of rushed to a cremation, it seems like, by today's standards. Scott is in Ohio on Coast to Coast AM. Scott?
Yes, Mr. Lindbergh, nice to meet you.
Yes,
I hope everything works out in your favor. My question is, being in law enforcement, you said your sister had received the shirt or the nightie that you had wore that night?
Yes.
Okay. Have as your attorney or whatever, are they going to go ahead and try to acquire that? The reason behind that is for DNA testing off of that. A baby spits up, throws up. There might be some DNA left on that if they haven't cleaned it or just kept it the way it was.
It was a pair of pajamas that were mine that were sent to my parents in a brown wrapper. And then later that wound up in the New Jersey State Police Museum.
Where, in honor of Norman Schwarzkopf. Right?
Yeah.
The father of the general of our era. And Dan is in Washington. He gets the last question or comment for Charles Lindbergh Jr. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to talk to you both. What about your birth certificate? Were you able to reclaim your original one, and what one did you have growing up?
Yeah, I have.
Thank you for taking my call.
I didn't have a birth certificate growing up, although there was one discovered being filed in Wichita, Kansas.
But you have a copy of your birth certificate you wrote to New Jersey something?
I wrote to New Jersey. I wrote to that particular department of the government, and I said, would you please, I need to get a passport, would you please send me my birth certificate? And I talked to the lady. She said, send me the fee. I said, send me two. So I have my Lindbergh birth certificate with the New Jersey seal stamped on the back side.
Well, that settles it for now. And I look forward to hearing whatever is going to come of this. I look forward to reading what more material you're going to send. And I want to know about that update when you have one in the weeks ahead. Thank you so much for your time and happy Easter.
I'll do that, Ian. Have a happy Easter.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
And to you and to everybody else, Deus Tiamat, and I do too.